Well,
this is Ted Boston Brower for the Ted Brower Show. This is November the 8th, 2015. And for those of you who don't know this or haven't been listening to the show, today is my 60th birthday. And to show you the dedication that I have, I'm on for 1 hour with Austin tonight, then I have 2 more hours with Dave Hodges. And we had a great birthday party last night. And I tell you what, it's going to be a good show tonight. We've got a lot of great stuff that we're covering, a bunch of new stories with Dave Hodges. Plus, we're going to talk about how to control the very fabric of time space with Dave Hodges tonight, plus a bunch of new stories with him. So it's going to be fun. I mean, we may start off with the fabric of time space or start off with stories that I wanted to cover with him. But he's got a lot of really interesting stuff about rabies, viruses and stuff that are going to be supposedly released in the United States, causing all of these horrible, horrible zombie-like effects. And so it's going to be an interesting show with Dave. So, you know, got a lot of stuff coming up for you guys tonight, so I hope you got some paper and pencil. And Austin, it's good to have you with me, as always.
Absolutely. Happy birthday to you again. So you're pretty dedicated to be on the show for 3 hours tonight on your birthday.
Well, you know, it's just, you know, I learned a long time ago. I was taught by Zig Ziglar. He taught me a long time. He says, winners do what they have to do. Losers do what they want to do. And, you know, I always try to realize that, you know, you have to do what you have to do. I mean, Dave asked me to be on the show a couple of weeks ago tonight. We've got our, you know, our biggest show during the week is on Sunday night right before Dave Hodges. And I'm not going to miss out on this. I mean, this is important. You know, our listeners have supported us for many, many years. And it's like last night at the birthday party. I mean, I had friends that have been knowing me for over 40 years. And I mean, everybody here is like, I've known him for 40 years. I've known him for 35 years. I've known him for 32 years. You know, we had another guy who knew me for 42 years. I mean, it's just a lot of people have been my friends for a long, long time. And the one thing about me, and for those of you who know me personally, you know this is true, I am super, super loyal. When I really like somebody, it's almost impossible for me to break off a relationship unless they just really do me wrong. I mean, they got to do me wrong like multiple times. And the way I look at that is kind of like this. I kind of take every year I've known somebody and I kind of grade it. I give them an A, B, C, D, or an F. And if I've known them for 40 years and every year they get an A or a B, and 1 year they're being a jerk or do something stupid one time, I average it in with the other 40. I pretty much ignore it. And Austin, you know me. You know that's true.
Oh, yeah.
And if a person it gives me 4 or 5 years of F's in a row, and I'm like, well, you know what? I just kind of let it go. I know one of my own family members, I got a bunch of strange family members. You know, we hadn't heard from them in like, oh, God, 20 years. And so then they did me wrong, and it was ridiculous what they did. And I just told them, I said, look, I said, here's the deal. I said, dealing with you my entire life has been a lesson in frustration. And quite frankly, I don't need any more lessons from you, so don't call me again or contact us again unless you want to treat my family with mutual respect that we try to show you guys. I have no interest in communicating with you, because there comes a point in time when you just have to say, you know what, I don't want to mess with this anymore, because there's some people you can't afford their association. I know Jim Rohn, one of my dear friends, may he rest in peace, he told me many years ago, he said, Ted, he goes, if you want to try to drag somebody up a ladder with you, it's okay as long as they're small and they only weigh a little bit. He goes, well, you try to drag 4 or 5 people up a ladder with you, and they're basically 250, 300 pounds apiece. He goes, you're not going to get up the ladder. He says, you're going to drag yourself back down with them. And sometimes you have to step away from the masses and do what you need to do and realize that you can't help everybody. And I've learned that so many times in my own business and my own profession, and that a lot of people, Austin, and you've seen them, they would rather die of heart disease or diabetes or cancer than to change their diets. They would rather have brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, optic nerve degradation, and severe depression rather than stop drinking diet sodas. And I've seen it over and over and over. And it was so funny because, you know, you're the voice of Health Masters when people call the phone number of the office. And by the way, the show's brought to you by healthmasters.com tonight. And thank you for your support. You're the voice of Health Masters. And I know you've been running the company now for about 5 years. And I remember when you first started doing it, you had no idea how many people you were going to talk to who are going to give you all these incredible stories and all these horrible stories of what they were unwilling to do and how horrible things happened to them. And so after you do that for a few years and talk to thousands and thousands of people on the telephone, you quickly begin to realize there are a lot of people out there that would rather die than change their diet. Am I right or wrong?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're spot on with that. I've definitely dealt with that a lot over the last couple of years. The biggest one, you know, as I tell people, when they call in and they're asking you about what they should do and, you know, supplements, dietary, exercise changes, and then they basically want to sit there and every time you tell them something, they want to give you a rebuttal. oh, well, I don't need to do that. I do this instead, or I don't need to take that. I take this from GNC. And, well, I don't need to cut that out of my diet that much. I don't eat that much of it anymore. And my response is, well, why are you even calling me? You obviously have everything figured out now, and you're in great shape and perfect health. Why are you calling me? And then the conversation kind of ends abruptly, usually shortly after that, as they usually kind of irritated.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, I spoke about this a few weeks ago on the show. I'm not sure if it was Sunday night or not, so I'll mention it again. I had a dear friend of mine. I can't say he's a dear friend of mine. He's a longtime acquaintance that I knew from the 70s. And I mean, I've known him since I was like 18 years old. He used to work out with me at the gym at Jerry and B's Health Club back in like 1973, 71, 72. And he's a mechanic, a nice guy, not a mechanic, but he's not saved. But now he's going to church, by the way, after all these years. I've been talking to him about church. And he came in about 5 years ago talking to me, and basically was drinking, about 80 ounces, almost three-quarters of a gallon, sometimes a gallon a day of diet sodas, and massively obese because it messes up your blood sugar regulatory mechanism. His sister had already died of brain cancer. I'm sure it was probably aspartame-related. And so I warned him. I said, John, your sister died of brain cancer. You basically are going to make yourself go blind from optic nerve degradation drinking these diet sodas. I highly suggest that you listen to me and you stop doing this. And he just laughed. And I said, okay, totally addicted to Diet Coke. And so I said to him, I said, whatever, man, just do what you need to do. Well, he came to see me a few weeks ago, and he wasn't laughing anymore, and he's basically blind in his right eye now from optic nerve degradation. And the sad part about it is, I told him, I said, he asked me if we could reverse it. I said, I don't know, I'll pray for you. So the good news is he's going to church now, which is wonderful, but the reality is this. I mean, you know, he wouldn't stop drinking the sodas until he went blind in his right eye. So he's not drinking the sodas anymore. That took a big, lucky he wasn't brain cancer. And the nuttiest part about all of this stuff is that, you know, it shouldn't take somebody going blind or getting brain cancer to stop drinking products that cause brain cancer. I mean, just it's not my rock science. And, you know, and I'm going to meddle one more time, and then we're going to start on the stories. And I hope you guys don't mind me kind of just chilling out and talking to you like this. You guys are all my friends anyhow. You know, how many times have we talked to parents? And I'm going, gosh, and please don't get mad at me and hang up and turn the computer. Please don't. You've got to realize, your children's health is your responsibility. If you've got a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old who basically is living on junk food, my friends, let me tell you something. They're not driving to the junk food store and buying this stuff. You're bringing it home to them. If you've got 3 and 4 and 5-year-olds that have all kinds of digestive problems because they're living on GMOs and high fructose corn syrup and they're getting fat already and becoming obese, that's not their fault. That's, you know, the parents' fault. Now, I'm not saying that you did this on purpose because you may not have known any better, but if you're going to listen to this show, you need to learn a few things and learn there's some things you just don't want to do. I remember years ago I was teaching this class at Carpenter's Home Church in Lakeland, Florida, which has since been torn down. It's gone now. It's like a 10,000-seat sanctuary that was completely demolished this year, and it's just, don't get me started on that. But what happened is I taught this class for 4 years, Joss, and I had about 5,000 people go through the class. And I remember one day I met some people in the parking lot who'd gone through like 3 or 4 of the lectures. One week I'd talk about heart disease. One week I'd talk about diabetes. One week I'd talk about cancer prevention. One week I'd talk about the colon and your health. One week I'd talk about hypoglycemia and all these different types of topics. And I had these people coming in, and I always tie it back to scripture. And I had these people coming to the class. And finally, I asked him, and we were walking up to the church together because the parking lot was huge. And I said, guys, I haven't seen you in church or in class on Wednesday night. You know, are you not going to finish the series? They said, no, we don't want to know anymore. And I said, what do you mean you don't want to know anymore? Well, to him who knows the truth and doesn't do it, to him it's a sin. And we don't want to know because we don't want to be sinning. We'd assume walk in ignorance. They also, as God is my witness, they really said this. I don't make stuff up. I have such a unique life. And they said, we'd rather walk in, you know, in ignorance and not know what you're teaching us because we don't want to be held accountable for it. And I thought, well, that's really odd. But you know what? That happens a lot. I had another lady who was very, very overweight, and she had a daughter who was getting overweight. And I pleaded with her to change her daughter's eating habits, and she refused to do it because she was eating the same foods her mother was. And then she had another daughter when the first daughter was about 14 or 15 years old. She had two more children over like a 15 year period. And the second daughter, she got super, super overweight as a baby. And I kept saying, please, 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 you've got to get this baby's weight back now. And she's obese. Oh, no, no, this is just healthy baby fat. I said, no, it's not healthy baby fat. An 8-month-old infant shouldn't weigh 40 pounds. This isn't healthy. And oh no, we're fine. She'll grow out of it. Well, you guys, you already know the story. She didn't grow out of it. Now she's like a 300-pound 12-year-old, 13-year-old. And it's sad because the mother's extremely obese. Her daughter's extremely obese. And, I don't understand that. I mean, if I was obese and I was a parent and I'd not watched my diet, I would do everything that I possibly knew to do to make sure my children didn't suffer the same fate. But the problem is, if they're not willing to change their diet and they still have those same foods in the house, it happens all the time. We have another friend of ours, her name was Cindy. I won't mention any last names. And she had two daughters. And Cindy was very, very overweight. And pretty soon, the two daughters were very, very overweight. And the oldest daughter, who was a good friend of yours, Austin, you remember her, she ended up running about 350, 400 pounds. And, and the sad part about it is that these kids didn't have much of a choice. This is what happened to them. And they just were fed junk food all the time. So please, I know parents that go out and buy the highest quality dog food and cat food for their cats and their dogs, or who have horses and make sure their horses get good high quality vitamin supplements and the highest quality food you can get. But then when it comes to feeding their kids, the kids get junk food all day long. I mean, they take better care of their pets than they do their children. And I've seen it over and over and over again. So friends, that's not of God, okay? Especially because of epigenetics and how much you can damage DNA that'll be transferred right to the next generation when you give these kids all this junk food. And this month on the 20th on the Hagman Show, I'm going into Morgellons disease, the real problem with this fungal epidemic that we're having with Morgellons, where the pie is probably coming out of the chemtrails. And we're going to go into detail what it's being used for from an epigenetic standpoint. It's going to be an incredible show. And tonight's show with Dave Hodges is going to be really off the chain too. So make sure you listen, stay tuned to the same exact channel, because we'll be going right straight to Dave Hodges after we're off the air tonight. So anyhow, Austin, let's start on your story. What's the first story you got for me tonight?
Oh yeah, first one. I got a couple different ones on prescriptions and different bases from that. So it'd be interesting, some more information for everybody. First one I wanted to talk about was biosolids. I don't know if anybody has heard of that before. Biosolids, that is a euphemism for human waste, and what's actually being used by some farmers as cheap fertilizer now, according to the New York Times, but is being done very quietly. Most states and counties that use biosolids on their farms are very, very tight-lipped. They make it almost impossible for the public to get the information. But what they're starting to find out now is, I mean, the same thing you can already figure, is that biosolids are actually really dangerous, not just because they're, they're just waste. What is in them? A lot of them, they're now showing studies, they're testing super high for pharmaceutical drugs and also personal care products. And they found in one test that higher concentrations, the study found even the vegetables themselves were being harmed by the drugs in the fertilizer. Zucchini, one of them, well, after being exposed to the pharmaceutical drugs in the bio, developed leaves with burnt edges, white spots, as well as stunted roots. And it also impaired the plant's ability to perform photosynthesis. So, I mean, this stuff, I mean, when the amount of prescriptions that are going on, people are taking, and we're using bio waste now, on basically plants. And the good thing about it is biosolids are not permitted in organic production under any circumstances. But in conventional farming, they fall under the jurisdiction of the good old EPA, and the agency's regulations only places limits on the amounts of heavy metals and certain pathogens that are in the biosolids. There's absolutely no restrictions on pharmaceutical drug content whatsoever. There's a new petition out, I think, to sign that to try and get the EPA to do something productive, but generally that doesn't happen very often.
You know, it's interesting because there's another fertilizer that I've used before on flowers, and they recommend that you never use it on vegetables or fruit trees or anything like that. And what it is, it's called Milorganite. It's out of Milwaukee, and it's biosolids out of Milwaukee, but they recommend you only use it like on flowers, that you don't ever put it on fruits or vegetables. It says right on the bag. And what's crazy about that is, I mean, we've known for years that you don't want to be dumping all these hormones and these chemicals into these biosolids and putting it on plants. And sadly, people are doing it now, and they're growing food apparently with it, and it's just simply not healthy. Here's another story. This is interesting too. It says, Pope Francis speaks. I love this. Pope Francis Mehmet. I'm going to just read it to you. Pope Francis speaks about Israel and anti-Semitism, according to the Jewish leaders who were in the room. This is by Max Kuttner. He goes, while meeting with Jewish leaders at the Vatican on Wednesday, Pope Francis reportedly said that attacks on Israel are anti-Semitic, according to the World Jewish Congress. To attack Jews is anti-Semitism, but an outright attack on the state of Israel is also anti-Semitism. There may be political disagreements between governments on political issues, but the state of Israel has every right to exist in safety and prosperity, Pope Francis apparently said during a private meeting with Jewish leaders, according to the World Jewish Congress, which represents Jewish communities and organizations around the world. And you know what's interesting about this is, you know, he's saying that, you know, the Jews can attack Palestine or do anything they want to do. It doesn't matter. But if anybody else attacks them, it's anti-Semitic. And this is a term that's been used now since actually 1945 or so, after World War II, after the Holocaust. And that what's interesting about this, it pretty much gives them a carte blanche, whatever they want to do to anybody, and it doesn't make any difference. If you say that Hollywood is primarily controlled by Jewish interests, you're anti-Semitic. Well, that's not a bad comment. It's just the truth. If you say that some of the best bankers that I know are Jewish, that's anti-Semitic. If you say many of my friends are Jewish, that's also anti-Semitic. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, and you know, and so what's crazy is you could say that all Christians are awful. That's okay. All Muslims are awful. All Buddhists are awful, whatever, and that's all okay. And so I find it interesting that now they're bringing the Pope in with all of this stuff. And the truth of the matter is, I mean, you know, almost all of the Rothschild banking cartels that control the Federal Reserve Bank are Jewish owned and operated. Of course, that's also anti-Semitic. So apparently, and I love what Donald Trump says, he goes, you can't say the truth anymore, because anytime you say the truth, you're not politically correct. And I think that's why he struck a nerve with the American population, and that's why he's polling so high, because he finally said, I am had it with the political correctness, and I don't want to do this anymore. And see, that's what's so nuts about all of this. And I'm not talking about Jews or Muslims or whatever. I'm not talking about any of these groups. What I'm saying is, I'm complaining right now that you can't say anything that's the truth, or you're considered, you know, a bigot, I guess, or racist, I guess. I don't know. You can't say that, you know, our only black president we've had in the United States so far is awful. You're a racist. Okay, well, if you like what he's done, okay. I mean, my whole response was, I tried to get Colin Powell to run for president back in the 90s and told him I would head up the campaign for him here in the state of Florida when I was on the seminar circuit with him. I would have loved him to have been our first black president. Now, that's not being racist. It's just being truthful. And so the craziest thing about all of this political correctness is run amok. And we covered a story last week, Austin, about how, I believe it was in Illinois, how this transgender little boy, you know, full genitalia of a male, wants to start showering with the girls in the open showers. And the court ruled that he could do it. And they say, now you're anti-transsexual, you're anti-homosexual, you're anti-gay rights if you don't think this little boy should shower with all the girls. I mean, okay, well, all right, well, whatever, man. But the point is, the political correctness has run amok, and this is one of the communist creeds. They want to control speech. This is one of the biggest things that Lenin talked about and Stalin pushed. You have to get rid of certain keywords, and you have to make those words illegal to talk, and that's what they're doing, son. What do you think about all that?
Yeah, and it's been an incremental baby steps, because you can see how, you know, over the last 15, 20 years, you know, back in the 90s, political correctness, I mean, if you said that about something, it's a joke. I mean, you know, be like, political correctness, what is that? But, you know, now you hear people just make little incidental comments about stuff that aren't even, I mean, they're not, like you said, you say something about, like, oh, I have a Jewish friend, or, you know, interesting, you know, like, what's crazy, too, is that, you know, the whole thing now about Black Lives Matter that's doing all this stuff, and it's like, no, man, all lives matter. Like, why all of a sudden is it, you know, Black Lives Matter? Yes, Black Lives Matter, but so do white lives, so do Hispanic lives, so does everybody that's living and breathing and have a soul. Their lives matter. But it's crazy, because if a bunch of us white boys down in Florida started picketing with signs that said white lives matter, oh my gosh, we'd be on the news so fast and probably arrested quicker than anything.
Well,
you know, and it's crazy, though, because you think about it reverse and it's completely different.
Well, no, it would be, because they'd automatically label you as a neo-Nazi skinhead.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like I said a few weeks ago. I said, you know what? I'm really proud of my Northern European heritage, you know, because my parents are basically from Germany. My dad was born here, but his parents were born in Germany. And I'm proud of that, you know. I'm proud of my white background. If I was from Mexico, I'd be proud of my Hispanic background. If I was from Africa, I'd be proud of my African background and my black background. If I was from India, I'd be proud that I was Indian. But you can't say that if you're white. And, you know, with 6% of the population of the planet being white, we're quickly becoming an extinct group of people. Here's another article. A German town of 100 gets enriched, I love this, by 750 Syrian Muslim jihadists, militant, Sharia law folks. German government officials have compelled a small town with just 102 people to take in approximately 750 migrants from Syria and other countries, the New York Times wrote on Saturday. What they're saying is that this whole massive influx, well, here's what's also interesting, is, you know, that the United States has bombed multiple power plants and water treatment centers now in Syria. And a lot of these people are drinking from the Euphrates River, which is known to be a cholera source. And if they end up with cholera, and it hits them in 4 or 5 days after they've basically drunk the water, and now they're on their way to Germany or Austria or wherever, I mean, cholera itself from the person really isn't transmittable except for by ingesting the feces or the sewage from this person who actually uses the bathroom if he gets back into the water supply. But you have a whole bunch of really sick people right now. There's this big epidemic over in Iraq and Iran of people with cholera, because a lot of these water treatment plants have been wiped out. Now, what's interesting is Putin has been nailing all the people who are the radical Islamists with ISIS, and we're bombing water plants and electrical plants, leaving millions of people without electricity and water, apparently, and we wonder why they're all trying to run out of the country. I said, I guess it's because George Soros may be calling some of the shots for us, and he wants to get rid of all the borders, and he knows the best way to get people out of the country is to bomb it into oblivion and back to the Stone Age with no water and no electricity, and everybody wants to leave. I don't know, Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm sure there's the overall agenda behind it. We all know that. Another one that I wanted to discuss goes back to the biosolids. Very, you know, the American prescription drug use in the United States, according to a new study published in JAMA, shows that the number of people taking prescriptions increased from 51% of the adult population in 99 to 59% in 2011, with cholesterol and blood pressure drugs as the most used medications in the U.S. The most popular drug in the country now is Zocor, a cholesterol-lowering statin. As we've mentioned many a times, how easy it is to control cholesterol without medication. And it goes on to say what's even crazier is the number of people now that are taking 5 or more prescriptions a month has doubled to nearly 15% of the adult population. And it raises concerns about potential for drug interactions, as we've seen before. I mean, because it's antidepressants have gone from 6.8 to 13% now of the population. Tranquilizers and sedatives have gone from 4% to over 6%. And like it said here, I mean, now 15% of the population is taking 5 or more prescription drugs a month. That's insane to me.
I mean, and over the age of 60 right now, 40% of the population takes 5 or more prescription drugs a month.
Yeah.
And the nuttiest thing about all of this is that all of these prescription drugs have side effects. I mean, cholesterol is one of the easiest things to lower. And we have a really good, healthy cholesterol program. We have it, you know, at healthmasters.com. You can order that. We've also got a really good healthy joint protocol from Dave Hodges, healthy blood sugar protocol from Doug Hagman. And we teach you how to change your diet, take certain supplements, which helps to stabilize everything and make everything healthy. Real good programs. It basically supports all of these healthy systems. And the nuttiest thing about this is I've written so many articles that you can read on Health Masters. And please, before you write us letters, please go to Health Masters and go to our archives and search the letters and all the emails and all the reports and all of the papers and articles that I've written on these particular topics. But cholesterol-lowering medicines are one of the most dangerous drugs on the market. I mean, they cause heart disease, they cause diabetes, they cause cancer, and they don't extend your life. And now it's been shown that when you take them, they actually cause calcification of the arterioles that feed the heart, the coronary arteries. And then the nuttiest part about all of this is that that's all supposed to be okay, because they're making hundreds of billions of dollars over the last 30 years on these cholesterol-lowering drugs, which are one of the worst drugs in the world. I mean, it used to be 250, 300, doctors say, whatever, man, you're fine. 250 is okay. Cholesterol's under that. All of a sudden, they said, no, we have to have it at 200. Now they wanted it at 150. And that means they're trying to get every single person on the pot. And what happens too, remember, when your cholesterol drops under 200, your cholesterol, your testosterone falls through the floor. So if you wonder why you're impotent and you basically can't have sex anymore, okay, and you're suffering from ED, it's probably your cholesterol or your high blood pressure drug. And see, those are the side effects of these drugs. You know, we've got a natural product that's called HGH Stimulate. And what it does, it actually kind of acts like a natural Viagra in the release of, nitric oxide into the system. And it also helps to the pituitary gland to release human growth hormone. So it helps to burn body fat, makes you really, really strong in the gym. But one of the side effects of the product is it really helps to maintain healthy support for blood pressure. And so people don't understand that there's all kinds of natural ways to have healthy blood pressure to support that without the use of these horrible drugs with their horrible side effects. I mean, ED, erectile dysfunction, is one of the biggest problems. They're saying now that at the age of 40, like 40 to 50% of the men in the United States are suffering from various forms of ED. I mean, this is at the age of 40. This isn't the age of 70. This is the age of 40. I mean, that's pretty awful. And so the sad part, Austin, is keep taking the drugs if you want to keep having ED. And then they give you the other drugs, like Viagra and Cialis, you know, which basically cause optic nerve and auditory nerve degradation if you're not careful with it, which means it can make you go blind and deaf. And they say, okay, that'll cover up the symptoms of these other drugs. And all they do is increase nitric oxide in the system, just like our HGH Stimulate does. But you don't have all the side effects with the HGH Stimulate, you know, like going blind and deaf. I mean, so the whole thing's just nuts. And forgive me for chuckling, because it's not blind and deaf isn't funny, but it's unbelievable that what people do to try to combat the side effects of the drugs that they're taking. I mean, it's really sad.
It is. It really is. Another one on here, now they've are starting to link antibiotics to type 2 diabetes, which is interesting, along a list of other things. It says, taking antibiotics on a regular basis could increase your chances of developing type 2 diabetes. 2015 Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism, researchers found that study participants who have been taking more antibiotics leading up to the study were more likely also to be diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. Now, it did say the study did not prove if antibiotics actually caused the increase in diabetes or if you were going to get diabetes if you used antibiotics. There was not a direct cause and effect. But what they did show is that too many antibiotics causes a host of different issues alongside of it, including reduction of beneficial bacteria in the gut, weight gain, and even mood regulation. And one of the researchers, which I found this was interesting, they said that study participants who used antibiotics were about 50% more likely to get a diabetes diagnosis if they filled 5 or more antibiotic prescriptions in a year. And one researcher said, and this is not proven, he said that previous animal studies, though, however, showed that antibiotics can damage beneficial gut bacteria, which those help to digest and process sugar as well. The researchers theorized that the damage to this bacteria could be what increases diabetes from the antibiotics by making the body work harder to process extra sugar. Now, alongside of that, you know, immune system problems and everything else, including what we've seen now in the last couple of years. You know, we were talking to Dr. Robinson a couple months ago, Dad, and remember he was telling us that they're seeing these super bugs now that people are contracting that antibiotics really aren't working for them. They're having to stack multiple antibiotics just to get rid of it because these bacteria are getting so aggressive because of the different antibiotics that people are on sometimes all year long, that they're basically building superbugs from them.
No, that's absolutely true. And I had an attorney contact me today, and she said, could me taking a really high quality, she's been using our acidophilus product, she goes, could me taking this acidophilus product help to stabilize my moods and my hormones? And I said, absolutely yes. And the reason that happened, well, there's no doubt about that, because what happens if you don't have the right intestinal flora, remember the intestinal flora, your entire body is like a little mini biosphere. It all talks to each other all the time. I'm going to cover that on Hagman on the 20th and how it does it through the DNA. And so the whole body we have a synergistic hologram. It all works together. And what's interesting about it is that it communicates with each other through with light energy. And so when the bowel flora isn't properly being produced and you don't have proper acidophilus in your intestinal tract, it can't digest specific nutrients that your body has to regulate hormones, to regulate B vitamin synthesis, to regulate nutrient uptake. And so everything ties together. So if you've been on an antibiotic program, that you've been taking a bunch of antibiotics, penicillin or whatever you want to take. There's all kinds of fancy ones now. I highly recommend to you that you get on a really good heavy acidophilus program along with some black seed oil to try to combat any kind of yeast growth in your system immediately. That's super, super important, because if you don't do that, you can really mess up your gut flora, which actually messes up everything, including the way your brain works with hormone regulation. So, yes, the answer is yes, gut flora is absolutely critical. And what I recommend also that you do is that you take 13.5 milligrams of potassium iodide every day, vitamin C every day, and D3 every day. That's D as in dog, 3 every day. Make sure you're very careful with your vitamin D. Vitamin D is relatively inexpensive. I think ours is like $20 for like 5,000 IUs. And it's super inexpensive compared to some of these really funny generic supplements that are so hard to make. But what's funny about this is people go to Walmart, they'll buy the cheapest vitamin D they can find. It doesn't work. It needs to be lanolin-based. And you remember, vitamin D acts like a hormone in the body. I'm surprised the FDA is actually allowing vitamin D to be sold, because of what it does as far as combating the flu, mood swings, all kinds of other stuff. It's been shown to be as effective as a lot of these antipsychotic drugs as far as stabilizing mood, along with B vitamins do the same thing too, especially injections of B vitamins. And we've talked about it at length on the show. And so what's funny though, Austin, but the D3 is critical, iodine and vitamin C, every single day to maintain the immune system. And if you do that, you don't have to go on antibiotics all the time.
Oh yeah, and what's even crazier, it's funny you mention that, because I was on the phone with a lady about 2 weeks ago, a regular customer, and she had told me back in, I think, June, she'd gone to her doctor for blood work, and her D levels came back around like 20. I mean, they were nothing, and very, very low. So the doctor put on her prescription D2, which is what the pharmacy prescribes for vitamin D, and it was 50,000 IUs, and she was supposed to take one a week. So she's telling me this, and I'm like, all right, 50,000 IUs, you know, I mean, that's a pretty substantial dosage, you know, at least once a week. And, you know, but remember, this is pharmaceutical-grade synthetic D2. She went back for blood work 2 months later, and her vitamin D levels were at 31. They went up basically 11 points in 2 months from this D2, which is, that's nothing. I mean, that's for 50,000 IUs a week. So she jumped on our D3 10,000 with K2. She ran that, I think, for an additional 2 months, just one a day, which was only one bottle, because there's 60 capsules in each bottle of the D3 10,000. I spoke to her last week. I think she said her blood levels were either at 71 or 81, was basically going to drop down to about one capsule every other day.
That's right.
To maintain that. And that's what people don't understand. This pharmaceutical D2 that they prescribe you guys, it doesn't do anything. The Walgreens, Walmart, D vitamin doesn't do anything. It's all synthetic. It's not bioavailable. The body can't do anything with it when it gets it. It has very little effect on vitamin D.
No, it does. D3 is the way you have to use it. And it needs to be the lanolin base, which is from sheep's wool. That's the best kind to get. That's what we carry at Health Masters, because we manufacture the highest quality nutraceutical supplements in the world, because that's what we do. We our family takes these, and if I can make a better product, I would. I tell people that all the time. See, and that's the thing, is that D3 is so important for reducing the risks of breast cancer. Remember the macrophages? Remember we did this thing a few months ago on the Hagman Show and on Dave's show about what was going on, and how all these naturopathic doctors and medical doctors that were all natural were being killed, basically. I think 13 or 14 of them now. And what they had found is that nagalase levels were extremely high in the blood, which basically is a byproduct of viral or cancer loads in the body. That was one of the things they had found that they were linking to autism. And the problem was the macrophages, the little vacuum cleaners in the body, that the sugar molecule had been stripped off of it, and it couldn't utilize vitamin D3. D couldn't attach to it. So even with elevated D levels, these kids weren't getting vitamin D. That's how important vitamin D is for your immune system, because the macrophages, the vacuum cleaners in the body, have to have D3. It's absolutely critical. When they were giving them the macrophage activating factor, which included the D3, injecting it, they were getting these crazy results with these kids that were recovering from autism and all kinds of other diseases, because they were giving their body what their body needs and what their immune system needs. Vitamin D is one of the principal components of the immune system. I take it every day. But always remember this. This is so important. If you don't buy it from us, you got to remember this. You have to get D3 combined with K2. That is essential. Because vitamin D3 by itself, if it's bioavailable, can actually cause arterial calcification, because it absorbs calcium so readily. So you've got to take the K2 with it. And so I don't even take D3 by itself anymore. I only take vitamin D3 with K2. And again, it's very inexpensive. but it's the right way to do it. It's the best way to do it, and it's the safe way to do it, because then if your levels get a little bit too high, then you don't have to worry about it. Plus, it's one of the best things for what's called seasonal affective disorder, Austin, when people get up in Montana and Wyoming and Seattle or wherever in Canada, and they don't see the sun for 3 months. You know, in the wintertime, sometimes it's overcast. They don't make any vitamin D in their body because their skin can't convert that cholesterol into D3. And what ends up happening is their body basically gets deficient in vitamin D, and they get very, very, very depressed, because vitamin D3 is one of the biggest things for depression. So that's why you've got to make sure you continue to take the D3, K2 every single day in the wintertime. And then monitor your system every once in a while and get it tested to make sure you haven't gone too high and make sure that you're not too low, because D3 is one of those hormones that you really, really need in your body, and you need it in large amounts to maintain a whole bunch of different systems in the body, Oz. What's your next story?
Next one, I thought it was pretty funny, but it talks about now, which is actually kind of exciting me that we're actually posting this. A lot of people are starting to wake up that we now know private families control the world monetary system.
Oh, yeah.
It starts out, the masses can no longer escape the knowledge that they're being taken for a walk down a dark alley. Most of the central banks around the world now are all linked to these elite power structures, which, if anybody's listened to us, I mean, you know, we've talked about this repeatedly. But what is funny is it says on here, it says, the simple fact remains that going backwards is not an option. And right now, humanity is being controlled by a monetary system that, to put it bluntly, is a joke. We need new approaches, new innovative designs, and move forward to build real prosperity on the earth, and essentially not allow these private families to control our monetary policies by producing artificial wealth that has absolutely nothing backing it. And it's funny, because it said it here, so the last several decades, if you were to get a loan from a bank, you're not actually being loaned anything they had. Instead, they just punch numbers in their computer, which created new money, and that is placed directly into your bank account. And that's the truth. Even with the currency that they're building now, a lot of it they're not even printing. It's just digits on a screen. Oh, we need to buy that, you know, that company. Oh, we need to buy this out of $85 billion. All right, just, you know, put the digits on, produce it, bam, it's ours now. And that's what we've become now as a country, is we're owned by a private banking corporation that produces money for nothing and sells it back to us essentially at interest. It's kind of so convoluted, but it's really sad, actually.
Well, it's back to the Babylonian money magic system.
Yes.
This is what they learned out of Babylon. This is where it came from. It came from basically the old practices of witchcraft, and how they manufactured money from nothing, and it's a big secret, and now
magic.
We know what they're doing. And then the crazy thing about it is that it can never be paid back. So what we have to do is nationalize all the debts of the Federal Reserve, like Hitler did. And forgive me, I mean, this is one of the things that Hitler did right, okay? So, you know, he was Time Magazine Man of the Year before he went berserk, okay? So let's not throw him out with everything he did, because he monetized, but that's what they've done, though. So that's why the global cartel has made everything Hitler bad, because they don't want to talk about what he did that was right, as far as putting the German people back to work, building the Autobahns, all the stuff that he did that was right. Because what he did is he threw the banking cartel out of Europe, which were primarily Jewish moneylenders, what they were, from the Rothschild estate from Frankfurt, threw them out and basically nationalized all their assets that they had stolen after World War I through the Weimar Republic with their hyperinflation, and basically took over the industry that they owned, that they had stolen with fiat money they had put in for nothing. And it basically led Germany on a prosperity run for about 6 or 7 years that was unparalleled so far in human history, because they were dealing with debt-free currency. They didn't have to go into debt to build the Autobahns or anything else they were doing, or to fight World War II. And that's what was so interesting about how he did that. Now, I'm not saying that he should be somebody that we should be looking forward to as a mentor, but what I'm saying is this. We need to look at what he did as far as getting this banking cartel out of Germany and getting rid of them. And, of course, after he did that, they basically declared war on him. The Jewish money lenders and the Jewish folks declared war on him and started boycotting all of the goods coming out of Germany, because they were trying to this actually happened, I think, in 33 or 34, and they actually declared war on Germany because of him basically throwing the monetary lenders out. If you listen to him on his speeches that he did, you can watch it on PBS every once in a while if they'll air it again, and it's Hitler at the Nuremberg rallies. And he says, in closed caption, in German, and the captions are actually correct, he says, the international Jewish banks can wish to continue this war against Germany. I'm going to make sure that I drive all the Jews out of Europe. That's what he said. And so it all goes back to the money thing. And so what they want to do is they want to obfuscate the few things that Hitler did right, and they want to only focus on the things that Hitler did wrong. But the truth of the matter is he was trying to take away the rights of the money lenders to do what they were doing and to hose over the German citizenry. And that's what happened in Germany. And then Hitler kind of went berserk and went into Poland and started taking their land. And I really believe if he had just taken over the property back and the land back that he had lost through the Versailles Treaty, I really believe that we never would have had a World War II. But what happens is, you know, the Rockefellers and the Carnegies and the Fords and the Harrimans and all these people were all together pushing up, you know, Hitler and getting him in power because they were going to control the assets of Germany after they were being rebuilt after the Weimar Republic. They pumped all that money into it in the late 20s, and then Hitler took over, saw what had happened, and decided to renationalize it. And then, of course, we got into a lot of the occult teachings of the Third Reich. And then he started doing a lot of things with his Viril Maidens and bringing people in and all the secret technology they were bringing in, supposedly from other dimensional beings. I mean, this is by their own records. Now, I'm not making this stuff up, okay? And what ended up happening is, his way of worshiping these fourth dimensional, interdimensional entities, some called demons, were different than the way they wanted to do it with the Rothschild Bank. And so they had this big rift between them. And remember, if you read the Bloodlines, the book with the Rothschild banking cartel, it says that every evening the Rothschilds actually put a place setting out for Lucifer himself. So, I mean, this is what this thing all thing is. It's all back down to Luciferian doctrine and New World Luciferian order, in which they want to basically bring Lucifer into our planet as bringing him as the new Messiah, as the king to rule and reign. And this is what they're going to do with the third world war. And it's just kind of crazy that we're actually at a time in our life that we're actually seeing this kind of crazy stuff happen. And so if you're awake right now and you're listening to this show and you don't think I'm nuts and you actually realize this stuff's going on, you can't be bored. There's no way you could be bored. This is not a boring time in United States history. This is not it. What's your next story?
No, it's not. It's crazy because there's more and more people that are coming out now and calling a lot of these guys out. Even Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, who's former U.S. Treasury official of the United States, he even sent a letter with proof of rigging of the gold prices by the agent banks of the United States to the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and asked them, why don't they do something about this illegal manipulation? And he didn't even get an answer. Didn't even get a response. And he said, you know, they don't have to answer to me. They don't have to answer to anybody. It was the U.S. dollar's rigged. The gold and silver prices are rigged. The spot values are. Physical's not. They can't really control that a whole lot right now as far as when demand goes up. But he said the bond prices are rigged. You know, the bond prices are rigged because that's what quantitative easing was all about. It was to drive the bond prices higher so the interest rates would go to zero or negative. The stock market's rigged. Every time they try to adjust, the U.S. plunge protection team steps in and buys so many S&P futures to stop the decline that it pushes the market back up when it's in a free fall. So, I mean, that's what we're seeing now. Like you said, it's magic. It's manipulation. That's what they're continuing to do with the money. And keeping everybody thinking that, oh, no, it's all good, America's still doing great, stock market's at 17,000, we're doing awesome, you know, silver's at $14 an ounce on spot, and go try and buy silver anywhere in the United States for $14 right now an ounce, anywhere. You'll never find it. If you do, I suggest you buy a truckload of it, because everything right now is pushing 20 plus. Now, there may be places that are dropping it cheaper when the spot prices drop a little bit, but the truth is, silver and gold are the only real, true, intrinsic values that have any wealth preservation right now.
That's true. That and blue chip stocks, but the Federal Reserve's already bought all those up. We covered those. We covered that whole story a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Former top Putin aide is found dead in a Washington hotel room. And no one's yelling foul play yet, but they're saying it may have been a heart attack. But what's interesting about this is the guy who got Russia Today on the air all over the United States and so many cable markets. Let me read what it says. A former close aide to Russia President Vladimir Putin was found dead in a Washington hotel room blocks from the White House, according to published reports. Remind me not to stay in that hotel. And Mikhail Lessa's body was found in a room at the DuPont Circle Hotel on Thursday, the Washington Post reported late Friday. Under Putin, Lessa helped in the creation of the state-run English language news channel Russia Today. He was also a former executive of the holding company that controls much of the Russian press. Wicker urged the Justice Department, another, I don't know who Wicker is, it doesn't matter. So if somebody in the Justice Department urged them to investigate less than in the letter, and he said that the Russian had bought property worth $28 million in Los Angeles after working as a civil servant. Well, no, this is just, he's trying to discredit this guy, is all he's trying to do. The senator, okay, no, this is, Wicker must be a senator. The senator's letter asked how a former civil servant could afford to purchase expensive property and expressed concern that the person may have involved people in groups on a U.S. sanctions list. I mean, it's all speculation. He had more obfuscation. Trying to spin this story that somebody probably killed this guy with an injection. BBC Russia said for a long time, Lessman was one of the most influential figures in the Russian media market in the corridors of power. And what happens is, these are just little lessons they send out to the people who want to go against them. Oh, by the way, your friend over here who's working on Russia today, we're going to just make him kind of go away. How do you like that? He's gone now. And that's what they do. And they do it all the time, Austin. It's absolutely awful.
Yeah, it really is sad because, I mean, you know, we'll never get the real true story of what actually happened with that. The media will spin it into something they want to.
Well, they already are. Likely. Now they're saying he's involved in illegal purchases of property and land. You know, that basically they're trying to take the story off him dying and put on why he bought the property and land.
Right. So, you know, he probably was killed for a specific reason, like you said, for going against them. But instead of leaving him as the victim that was killed for an unspecified reason, now they're trying to make him a criminal. Oh, he was doing this with land. You know, this is illegal activity. So they spin it. That's how they do everything. Anytime there's a problem like that with somebody that checks out, and, you know, it's somebody that was going against their narrative, they just spin it and make them illegal. I mean, that's what they did with the Branch Davidians. That's what they did up in Ruby Ridge. I mean, that's what they do all the time. They just spin it. They make everybody the criminal as soon as something happens. That way the blame is, well, he did this, you know. Oh, he was resisting arrest. Oh, he assaulted an officer. Bam, bam, bam. Okay. You know, that's how it's played. It's with the government, with everywhere.
Well, so my favorite one to date was when Khan turned against them up there in that hotel room in New York City, and they had this maid, apparently he supposedly raped and or tried to rape, and he was basically, I think he was head of the World Bank, and he was wanting to bring in he wanted to collapse the U.S. dollar, and you know, I guess he was going to really push the euro. I don't know what he was trying to do, but it was against what they wanted him to do, so they immediately had him arrested for rape, and then they pretty much left him in jail to send him a lesson, and then he basically was let out of jail a few weeks later. And of course, the maid now recanted her whole story, and then somebody else was put in his position, and he was basically just released. Now, it was funny because, I mean, he wasn't killed. I guess he had too much authority and too much power, but they let him know real quick that he's going to do what he said he was going to do, that he was going to do what they told him to do. And if he didn't want to do that, he was going to go, you know, bye-bye. He was going to prison. And what's crazy about all of this is, I mean, all of this stuff. I mean, these Hollywood actors that suddenly die from overdoses, like, you know, or kill themselves, like Robin Williams. We talked about that. I mean, is it really true that they kill themselves because of an overdose, or is it because just maybe they'd had enough of it and they were going to try to expose everything?
Like our Paul Walker guy over there running his Carrera GT down a back street, and all of a sudden the car, you know, drives off the road, hits a tree, and explodes. Yeah, that happens on a $400,000 Carrera GT race track car with a fuel cell system in it. Yeah, that happens all the time on the track. You see it regularly. Not, it never happens.
No, they got fuel cells in them. They can't explode.
That's exactly. That car was designed not to explode.
And you know what's funny is that so many of these cars now are drive-by-wire. The electronics can be used to take over the car, shut the car down, steer the car to the right.
Oh, you look at OnStar.
Yeah. Yeah, and what's crazy about it is, I mean, I'm not saying that he was killed, but I thought it was awful strange because some of the underlying currents were that he was about to come out and release a big statement about what was going on with infertility drugs and vaccines that were being used in the Philippines. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but you know, may he rest in peace. I mean, but that guy was a pretty good guy. And see, there are a lot of these people, they simply can't corrupt. And when they can't corrupt them, they can't control them, they get too big. They got to shut them up, son.
Yeah. It's sad, too, because like you said, I mean, it's, you hear about all these different overdoses and stuff like that, man. It was crazy. There's another article. It's back from a little ways back about the H.R. 1599 Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act of 2015. Now, that was back in July 24th of this year. A lot of people still don't know much about it and don't know how it's going to continually affect us, and it's about to get a lot worse. It goes into detail. Basically, the act was referred to as the Dark Act. by a lot of the people that were against it. Deny Americans the Right to Know Act is what they referred to. This dark act was introduced by U.S. Rep. Mike Pompeo, and basically it was a deliberate intent to overturn state labeling laws that have passed in Vermont, Connecticut, Maine, and stop any future laws from passing. In the last 2 years, 30 states have introduced legislation requiring the labeling of GMO foods. Basically, what this DARK Act did, it negated all existing GMO labeling laws, all of it, from a federal level. Boom, done. All existing GMO label laws, gone. Gave the jurisdiction over non-GMO certification to the one and only USDA. Then they put language in the bill that preempted all state and local laws regarding the limiting of production of GMO crops. Then it also went on to expand the definition of natural to include genetically modified ingredients. So, I mean, the act was a complete and total joke. The name of it was, I mean, the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act was complete and total conspiracy. And what's crazy is they even pulled all these numbers now. And they see agribusiness sector, food and beverage industry donated $29 million on average of $108,000 per member of the 2014 election to all those who voted on passing the bill. Do you know how much on average each member got that voted against the bill? A little bit over $30,000. Wow. They got almost four times more money for all the people that were basically in that 2014 election that voted for this bill. And, I mean, the fact that, I mean, they got this to pass is so sad, but it goes on here and it just starts listing names of all these professors that are basically in cahoots with GMO that are getting all this funding, this research funding to do GMO work, but basically nonchalantly promote GMOs while saying that they don't work for Monsanto directly and they don't support Monsanto, but GMOs are okay. And again, it's crazy.
Well, it is crazy. It's absolutely nuts. And we're almost out of time. So, Oz, thanks so much, man. You did a great job on the news tonight. You did a phenomenal job. And so, everybody, thank you for supporting us. Thank you for supporting healthmasters.com. Thanks for signing up for our free newsletter. We really, really appreciate it. And stay tuned. For the next 2 hours, I'll be on with Hodges, and we'll be going into detail on what really happens in the fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh dimension when we pray. We're going to be making a lot of additional inroads into what we talked about 2 weeks ago. Plus, we're going to be covering a bunch more news stories that Austin and I haven't had a chance to cover tonight, including the stuff that Dave Hodges wants to talk about this rabies thing that might be released. And so some crazy stuff coming up here in the next 2 hours. I mean, you guys are going to like it because you guys realize that the truth will set you free. Love you guys. Appreciate you. We'll talk to you tomorrow from 3 to 4 if you don't stay tuned for the Dave Show. Tomorrow, 3 to 4, we'll be live again. And for the next 2 hours, Dave Hodges. God bless you guys. Talk to you later.
Have a great night.